Muslims were told that no one should enter the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless he was called. If people are invited to have food at the house of the Prophet Muhammad, they shall come right at the time of the food. They shall then disperse immediately afterwards and not keep talking to one another. The wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall be secluded from the Muslims, and except for near relatives and women of their acquaintance, no one shall come in front of them. Anyone who wants something from their private places must ask for it from behind a veil. The wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall be the mothers of the believers. Those hypocrites who have the desire to marry them should know that even after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot marry them. They are eternally prohibited from marriage after him. Consequently, every believer should honor and respect them the way he honors and respects his own mother. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greatly distressed by the wrong attitudes of these miscreants. They must now be aware that bothering the Prophet Muhammad is not something trivial. A person may fashion out an excuse for his misdemeanor in this world, but he would not be successful in justifying it before the Lord of the worlds, who is aware of what is in their hearts. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما لا جناح عليهن في آبائهن ولا أبنائهن ولا إخوانهن ولا أبناء إخوانهن ولا أبناء أخواتهن ولا نسائهن ولا ما ملكت أيمانهن واتقين الله إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا. Believers, do not enter the house of the Prophet except if you are permitted some time to enter for a meal. In this case also, do not sit waiting for the food to be cooked. But if you are invited, enter, and when you have eaten, disperse. Do not engage in familiar talk, for this would distress the Prophet, and he would feel shy to bid you go. But of the truth, God does not feel shy. And if you ask his wives for anything, speak to them from behind a curtain. This is more pure for your hearts and their hearts. And you must not harass God's messenger, nor shall you ever wed his wives after him. This would be a grave offense in the sight of God. Whether you reveal or conceal them, God has knowledge of all things. It shall be no offense for these women to come before their fathers, their sons, their brothers' sons, their sisters' sons, their women of acquaintance, or their slaves. Women of the household of the Prophet have fear of God. Surely God observes all things. 33. Misconceptions regarding marriages of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The marital life of the Prophet has generally been misinterpreted by the critics of Islam. In this regard, unfortunately, the real stance of the Quran has often been misconceived even by some Muslim scholars. The following questions have been raised in this regard. 1. Why was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed to marry more than 4 wives? 2. Why did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry the wife of his adopted son? 3. Why did not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry his slave girl Maria the Copt? In the following paragraphs, the Quranic point of view on these questions shall be explained. The two initial marriages of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is obvious, were solemnized in a normal perspective and on customary footings. He first of all married a widow, Khadija radiyallahu anha, when he was about 25 years old, while she was almost 40 years old. For the next 25 years, the couple remained happily married, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this period was seen in the role of an ideal husband, something which he maintained throughout his marital life. At the death of Khadija radiyallahu anha, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left with small children. Consequently, he married a widow, Sauda radiyallahu anha, then 53 years old. The need for this marriage, like the previous one, it is obvious, arose from perfectly natural needs. In the year 622 AD, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina as its undisputed ruler. His marriage with Aisha radhiyallahu anha, the daughter of his dear companion Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, was consummated 2 years later. It may be added here that recent researches have established beyond doubt that the age of Aisha radhiyallahu anha at the time of the consummation of her marriage with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around 19 or 20. The hadiths which report her age to be 8 or 9 years at the time of marriage are absolutely baseless. The Prophet's marriage with Aisha had been legally solemnized a couple of years before migration. It seems that this marriage was in fact a divine selection, for the services rendered by Aisha radhiyallahu anha for the cause of Islam stand unparalleled. She was perhaps the greatest authority on Islam after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the illustrious companions of the Prophet consulted her for religious guidance. The Prophet's marriage with Aisha radhiyallahu anha and later with Hafsa radhiyallahu anha, daughter of Umar radhiyallahu anhu, also proved instrumental in the strengthening of ties with his two close companions. Now, within the first few years after migration, many Muslim women were widowed, particularly because their husbands had been killed in the battles of Badr and Uhud. A large number of them, including their children, were left helpless. The opening verses of Surah Nisa came to their rescue and suggested a way out to deal with their apathy. The custom of polygamy, which was prevalent in Arabia, was utilized to solve this problem. The Quran urged the Muslims to marry them if they could be just to all their wives, and at the same time, this number should not exceed 4. Since the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to set an example in this regard, he took lead and married 2 widows, Zainab bint Khuzaimah radhiyallahu anha and Hafsa bint Umar radhiyallahu anha. At this stage, he had 4 wives, Aisha, Sauda, Hafsa, and Zainab bint Khuzaimah. A few months later, Zainab bint Khuzaimah radhiyallahu anha died, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Umm Salama, whose husband had been martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Her deceased husband Abu Salama radhiyallahu anhu had rendered meritorious services for the cause of Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while discharging his duties as the final Nabi, next married Zainab bint Jahash radhiyallahu anha in the 5th year after migration. The reason for this marriage must be understood in the light of some important details. Islam inherited the inhuman institution of slavery. There were scores of slave men and slave women in every house. Instantly freeing them, it is clear, would have resulted in a lot of social and economic problems. Islam therefore adopted a gradual methodology to do away with slavery. It undertook various measures in this regard. However, freeing these slaves was not the only problem which was to be tackled. An even more important problem was to blend and graft them within the normal structure of the society once they had been set free. Keeping in view the great sense of superiority the Arabs had over slaves, this was an extremely uphill task. Consequently, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to make them acceptable as normal members of a society, took a very radical step. He persuaded his cousin sister Zainab bint Jahash radhiyallahu anha to marry Zayd ibn Harisa radhiyallahu anhu, a slave boy he had set free and brought up as a son. The marriage took place, but unfortunately it could not continue due to certain reasons, and Zayd radhiyallahu anhu had to divorce his wife. After this unfortunate dissolution of marriage, the only thing which could console Zainab radhiyallahu anha was if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. Furthermore, it was necessary to reform a social custom concerning some erroneous concepts about an adopted son. According to this custom, the Arabs regarded the adopted son as a real son in all respects. This, of course, is against human nature and as such had to be abrogated. However, as a social custom, it was so deeply rooted in the Arab society that it could only be the Prophet's personality which could abolish it. Consequently, on the Almighty's bidding, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to sympathize with her and to reform this custom. Also, with this marriage, the normal law of keeping 4 wives was extended by the Almighty for the Prophet so that he could effectively discharge his responsibilities as a Nabi and a Rasul. The Quran states, يا أيها النبي إنا أحللنا لك أزواجك اللاتي آتيت أجورهن وما ملكت يمينك مما أفاء الله عليك وبنات عمك وبنات عماتك وبنات خالك وبنات خالاتك التي هاجرن معك وامرأة مؤمنة إن وهبت نفسها للنبي إن أراد النبي أن يستنكحها خالصة لك من دون المؤمنين قد علمنا ما فرضنا عليهم في أزواجهم وما ملكت أيمانهم لكي لا يكون عليك حرج وكان الله غفورا رحيما ترجي من تشاء منهن وتؤوي إليك من تشاء ومن ابتغيت ممن عزلت فلا جناح عليك ذلك أدنى أن تقر أعينهن ولا يحزن ويرضين بما آتيتهن كلهن والله يعلم ما في قلوبكم وكان الله عليما حليما لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولو أعجبك حسنهن إلا ما ملكت يمينك وكان الله على كل شيء رقيبا O Prophet, we have made lawful to you the wives whom you have paid their dowers and free women whom you have gained in a military campaign, and the daughter of your paternal uncles and aunts, and the daughters of your maternal uncles and aunts who migrated from Mecca with you, and any believing woman who gifts her soul to the Prophet on the condition that the Prophet wishes to marry her. This directive is specifically for you alone and not for the believers. We very well know what we have imposed on them as obligations regarding their wives and slave girls, a special directive for you, so that there be no difficulty for you in discharging your duties, and in case of any blemish, God is forgiving and merciful. You have the authority to keep any of them away from you and keep any of them near you, and it is lawful for you to bring any of them near you whom you have kept away. There is no blame on you in this regard. This explanation is more proper so that they be contented and not be sorrowful and feel satisfied with whatever you give them. And God knows what is in your hearts, and God is all-knowing and most forbearing. All other women besides these are not lawful for you, nor can you change them for other wives, even though their beauty attracts you. Slave girls, however, are still allowed to you, and in reality, God does watch over all things. While analyzing the statutes on which this group of directives is based, Javed Ahmed Ghamidi writes, Firstly, after contracting marriage with Zainab رضي الله عنها, the Prophet could marry further for the following objectives. 1. To honor free women who were caught as captives in military campaigns. 2. To show kind-heartedness to women who wanted to marry him just for the sake of associating themselves to him, and for this they were ready to gift themselves to him. 3. To console and sympathize with his maternal or paternal cousin sisters who had migrated with him from Mecca and left their houses and relatives merely to support and back him. Secondly, these marriages of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to be contracted only to fulfill certain religious obligations. He was not required to deal equally between the wives. Thirdly, except for the women specified, he was prohibited to marry any other lady. He could also not divorce any of his wives, nor bring a new one in her place, however much he liked her. Consequently, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Javeriya رضي الله عنها for the first objective outlined above, Maimuna رضي الله عنها for the second, and Umme Habiba رضي الله عنها for the third. It is also pointed out in these verses that the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the mothers of the believers. Consequently, marriage is eternally prohibited with them. No Muslim should even think of marrying them after the Prophet's death. The Quran states, "النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ." The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. Surah number 33, verse 6. The Quran also states, "وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزِيمًا." Nor is it right for you that you should marry his widows after him at any time. Truly, such a thing is abominable in God's sight. Surah number 33, verse 53. Javed Ahmed Ghamidi, Mizan, pages 431 and 432. The case of Maria the Copt, a maiden gifted by Makukas, the son of Egypt, to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must be understood in the proper perspective. The Prophet ﷺ could not marry her, since according to the Quran, the Prophet could only free and marry slave girls who were made prisoners in war. He was not allowed to marry gifted slave women that had been set free. Returning a royal gift, of course, would be against courtesy. Secondly, an example needed to be set as to how Muslims should treat their slave girls, who in those times were treated very badly. It is evident from this discussion that these marriage directives were given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a religious obligation in his capacity as a prophet and a messenger of God. He followed these directives, and there was no element of personal desire in these marriages. Consequently, the need arose to make these directives an exception to the general ones given to the Muslims in this regard.